Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Ladies and gentlemen, not only did we get Tommy Caster participating in his final Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, he found Max's Hawaiian music. The double whammy on a Wednesday. Good morning, everybody. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We are celebrating. It is Tommy's last Wednesday on the show, in style, I should say. Looking good out there in the best Hawaiian. And look, the movement, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes there is resistance. But in the end, just give in. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wanted to throw you a bone on my final Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I have to admit, I've got a confession to make on my final Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I have a closet full of shirts like this. And so I think that my resistance towards all of it, if I can be honest, and we can have a therapy session here very early in the morning, it's jealousy. Like I was jealous that I had to try to be professional and not be able, you know, to wear shirts like this every Wednesday to do my job after this show. So I was lashing out irrationally. I think I can admit that on my final Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. But I wanted to find a shirt that fit, and here we are today.
Well, listen, now you'll be in charge here. So you could just going to throw this out there. You could make it a requirement across the Odyssey stations that we have Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays.
That's
now.
A bold move.
That's a thing.
That is a bold move.
It's a move. Look, and if you're trying to have an impact early, you show up on a sales call and one of these bad boys,
man,
instant connection.
Think our ratings and our revenue will go up?
Absolutely. Morale will, if nothing else.
There you go. What do you think about this one, by the way? Are you a fan of this?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's probably the loudest one I have. I was going through and I'm like, I got to find the one that is the loudest.
This is what I came up with. I'm a fan. I think that if people would just give it a shot, they'd like what happens. I'll bet you $1 right now that you get at least 3 compliments on that shirt today if you wear it all day. At least.
Yeah. I'm going to confess to you, I brought another shirt. It's sitting on
a
chair.
Don't do it.
Right over there.
Don't do it.
I plan on switching it out as soon as we're off the air.
Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll be fine. People will notice and they will appreciate it. They'll like it. Welcome in everybody to Sports Daily. We're glad you're here with us. We've got a fun show today. As always, this time of year, we'll begin to look ahead to Chiefs Giants. It is a little troubling when you go back historically and look at this particular rivalry. So we will go into that. The Royals, boy, they fall hard out of the gates in the final homestand, never gave themselves a chance. So we'll dig into last night's game and look ahead. And then KU insider Shreyas Lada is going to join us today as we look for the first time, really. We'll dig into KU, their chances in the Big 12. What do we think of this opening game? It's all coming up for you. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, celebrating National Pepperoni Pizza Day this Saturday, September 20th, $9.20. Get it? September 20th. Pepperoni Pizza, pepperoni pizza, or WBC's famous pepperoni rolls. Enjoy National Pepperoni Pizza Day at WBC Saturday, which is September 20th, with $9.20 specials. Wichita Brewing Company, pepperoni pizzas and beer made here. We go through, Tommy, and boy, that was just a total gut punch as the Royals, they give up 10. It was 10 runs in the first four innings.
Yeah, I think they were down. I know at one point in the four, I think at the fourth inning, they were down 9-0. I don't remember if the Mariners made it 10-0 before the Royals finally got on the board.
Ten in the fifth.
You know, they scored a few runs, you know, late in the game. I like Carter Jensen. I think the Royals like him a lot too. If you're going to try to take something positive away from this, it's that, you know, it's that Carter Jensen showed up and, you know, he's probably the long-term, like very long-term future at catcher. You know, obviously Salvi is entrenched there, but he's not getting any younger. They like him a lot. And, you know, he showed up with some power late in that game.
Yeah, that split could come as early as next year, right? He could play the role that we've saw Freddie Fermin play for a long time, and that's good news for the Royals. And I don't want to close the door on their season quite yet, but that one you can't really have that. Michael Wacha returns from the IL in the 12-5 loss, goes just 2 2/3, gives up 7 of those 9 runs. So clearly, he was not at full strength or whatever is going on there, but. It's unraveling. So we can continue the conversation, though, of evaluating this season in the grand scheme of things and, you know, how much of a disappointment it's been. Jalen Thompson asked us that yesterday, and I've been thinking about it a lot. So we'll do that today as well. It's the reality setting in. I'm a Rangers fan. Their reality is setting in after they've dropped the first two games of a critical series to the Astros. So look, it's going to be tough. It's a tough time for a lot of baseball teams, right now. So,
I mean, hey, as a Rangers fan, you're probably cheering hard for the Royals too this week to try to take down the Mariners. Yeah. So the Rangers can get back in the mix in that wild card race.
I am. They've won 10 straight though. I think the Rangers, it sure looks like now the Rangers are probably chasing the Red Sox, oddly enough, who have stumbled a bit. The Mariners win 10 straight. Apparently, some guy bought like a spell off of Etsy from a witch to try to help the Mariners win a bunch of games, and it's working.
Yeah, that sounds irrational.
Yeah, well, listen, it's baseball. You got to get totally irrational. And if you're a Mariners fan especially, you really got to get irrational. The big dumper, Tommy, with two more home runs, leads the big leagues, the most ever by a switch hitter, 56 as a catcher. The Cal Raleigh-Aaron Judge debate will be really interesting. You know, the Bobby Witt Jr.-Aaron Judge debate from a year ago was a little different, right? They're both, like, the metrics love both of those players. This will be more of an old school versus new school. Like, if your war is everything, you're going to vote for Aaron Judge. But if you're not, then you're probably going the big dumper here as the MVP this year. That will be a really interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, I think that with Raleigh, I mean, obviously he's breaking records left and right based on who he is, what position he plays, the way that he bats, all of that. I mean, you mentioned most home runs by a switch hitter. I mean, he broke Salvi's record, most home runs by a primary catcher. Salvi set that, that was back in 2022, I think, was when he hit 50 home runs. And so Raleigh has blown that out of the water as well, with still, you know, a handful of games to go where he could hit even more home runs. So, you know, that's been such a fun story to watch this entire year. And then the Mariners in general, I mean, the additions they made at the trade deadline to surround Cal Raleigh and their pitching staff, they're going to be an extremely dangerous team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I had a futures bet on them a long time ago. I feel good about it as a potential World Series winner because you love their rotation, and now they've got some bats to back it up. Maybe we get into that. We'll certainly get into it over the next couple of weeks, the Raleigh case for MVP. But We've still got baseball to play. The Royals will play tonight. When we come back, though, let's start to look at Chiefs Giants. Have you looked at the history of this matchup? We'll do it next on Sports Daily.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Glad to be here with you. Everybody's participating because it's Tommy's last Wednesday, and he feels guilty. And that's okay. Whatever the reason, we appreciate it. Thanks, everyone out there who's participating in the movement. It may be a movement of one, but two today. All right, let's talk Chiefs here, Tommy, as we get you ready for it. And first tell you, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. It's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We look ahead to the Giants. Chiefs are, the line's moving around a little bit. You know, it's been anywhere between 6.5, I think, and 7, which feels about right to me. It feels like the Chiefs have this opportunity, but man, have you looked at the history of this matchup?
Well, I mean, I know the Chiefs have never won at the Giants. I did see that yesterday. Yeah, in the entire time they played.
The only team left in the NFL where the Chiefs have not won there. The last time they played, hat tip to Brandon Zinner, it was the Travis Kelce throwing an interception game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The 12-9 loss in overtime back in 2017. Yep. The then 1-8 Giants took down the Chiefs. The Chiefs were pretty good that year. So it's been a weird matchup. They're only 4-11 all time. 4-11 all time against the Giants. Like, this has been a historically bad, and they don't play them very often. Only three times since 2013. They have not played them since 2021, a game that they did win at Arrowhead. But it's been a weird little series. Like, maybe the most forgettable series, to be perfectly honest, that the Chiefs have with any team across the NFL. And that's where they'll go Sunday. They hit the road, primetime game. We know the Giants have, as bad as I think they are, and make no mistake, I think they're bad. They do have some guys that scare you. History's not on your side. The present's not on your side to a great deal because the Chiefs haven't played particularly well yet. So it's a little unnerving. I'll be honest.
Yeah. Can I tell you what I think the biggest thing the Giants have on their side is desperation. I think that's the biggest thing they've got right now, where like nobody expects much of anything from them. And that really is, I think, from the top down. Like Brian Daboll, I think, is kind of, a walking dead man a little bit. He's got to have a huge year, I would say, to be able to keep his job. Same thing with the general manager there. Russell Wilson has been put out to pasture multiple times in his career, so he doesn't have, really any expectations on his shoulders. He can just go out there and let Russ cook, right? And that's kind of what he did against the Cowboys. I don't like Russell Wilson. I don't think he's very good anymore, but he certainly, has that desperate factor where plays really well to what he does well, and that's the deep ball. So he's got that going for him. And then they've got some young skill players as well that, again, there aren't a whole lot of expectations for the team as a whole. So it lets guys like Malik Nabers and even Cam Scadabo, who broke out a little bit last week, really kind of shine. So, I mean, those things all together, yeah, it makes me a little bit nervous just because they don't have a whole lot to play for right now. Everybody's already written them off after 2 weeks in the season. And so they can kind of just let it go hang all out.
They can. And look, the Chiefs, the other side of that is the Chiefs are desperate too. At least they better be. Right, they better feel a sense of desperation. I think this game would scare me more if the Chiefs weren't 0-2 with their back against the wall in a lot of ways. That's what keeps taking me back to, man, I think they're just going to go handle their business here this week because they're the better team. Even with all their injuries, they're for sure the better team. They have the better quarterback. They have the better coach. They have the better defense. Like, all of these things are true. They're not playing particularly well, but man, if the Chiefs have to be equally desperate, although in a different way, of course, but they got to be equally desperate. If the Chiefs aren't desperate right now in this game, then they've got a different kind of problem. They better be desperate, because they go 0-3 with a loss to the Giants. And now you're talking about real danger of like missing the playoffs, right? We're having a totally different conversation next week if they screw this one up. 0-2, you're trying to get people back healthy. At some point, you dig too much of a hole, because what do you have to then do the rest of the way? Lose no more than four games? Well, for three more, you don't even have Rashee Rice. So there has to be a sense of desperation right now in that Chiefs locker room, because they have to win this game. I mean, it's as must-win game for this kind of team that's been always there for the last decade. It's as must-win in a negative way that they've faced, honestly, probably in Patrick Mahomes' time as a starter. Now, obviously, that's relative to you must win a Super Bowl or playoff games. Let's call it in the regular season, how about? In a negative way, it's as must win as we've seen them face. I don't think that's a stretch. And that's why I think they're not going to fall into this trap that is very like apparent and obvious that, you know, here's the trap. We can all see the trap. It's not hidden. It's right there in front of us. Don't step in it.
Yeah, I think on top of that, they've got to make sure that, you know, they put their foot on the gas and don't let up. Like they absolutely cannot let up in a game like this, because it could be very easy, and it might be a little bit different if they weren't also 0-2, but it could be very easy for them to be like, yeah, we're playing the Giants. They're not very good. Like, we can kind of let up a little bit and, you know, maybe not go 100% the entire way. We can maybe go 95% or 90% and we'll be fine. You can't afford that at this point, because again, your backs are up against the wall. I was looking at this yesterday, and I was trying to get a little bit more insight in Xavier Worthy's injury and what things will look like for him in week three. And there's optimism that he'll play, in this game. I think it was Ian Rappaport that reported that the Chiefs are optimistic that Worthy will play against the Giants this weekend. And I was looking at, is there a lot of precedent for players that have this kind of injury that are playing with it, with a torn labrum? And there are a couple of examples, and there are some notable examples. George Kittle apparently played with a torn labrum for like 2 years before he finally had surgery to correct it. Odell Beckham Jr., he admitted, I looked this up, he admitted that he had played with a torn labrum for a decade before he finally got it fixed. And so it does look like it is an injury that players can play through. And
that
you'll,
makes me feel better.
You'll often notice that players that have this injury, and Kittle is a great example of this, wear like a protective sleeve and usually do, like, it just becomes part of their what they wear, their gear that they wear each week for a game. So that could very easily be the case for Xavier Worthy as well. No word yet. I know we're still relatively early in the week. No word yet on what his practice status has been and what that will look like, but at least there is a precedent for a couple of notable players that have played through. By the way, George Kittle went to the Pro Bowl both years that he played through a torn labrum. So it doesn't, even though like it's probably painful and there are some issues there, at least in the case of George Kittle, it didn't impact his production.
Well, and that's really interesting. And I'm glad, like, catch radius is the first thing, right, that comes to mind when you think about that injury. So when I hear Kittle, I'm like, okay, well, he doesn't have quite the same needs on that as a guy like, but Odell Beckham Jr. certainly would.
Yeah.
And honestly, the way that they use Worthy, it is going to be kind of on a route tree similar to Kittle, right? It's a kind of underneath. It's not gonna hurt his legs, which is what they want him to do, which is run after the catch. So that's pretty promising, to be perfectly honest. I think that helps. And if it's a pain tolerance thing, I would imagine he'll play this weekend, right? If the only thing that he's dealing with right now is the pain tolerance that's always going to be there, he'll probably play. I don't know, without surgery, like, how much better does it get until you have the surgery after the injury? So how much longer might he need to wait? Well, we should find out, but
it may well be something that he plays through the entire season, where he's dealing with just a torn labrum, and then he, you know, elects to get it repaired in the off season or whatever the case might be. But I agree with you. I also think that even just his presence on the field, even if he's not garnering the targets as much, or like his actual stat line isn't quite as large as maybe what we would have expected, that does help the other guys out on the field for sure. It provides, number one, another option for Patrick Mahomes, and probably a top option for Patrick Mahomes. But think about the connection, and I know it took a couple of tries, but the connection that Mahomes had with Tyquan Thornton on that deep ball. It will probably,
Thornton,
I would imagine,
was open three times.
I would imagine,
right?
That it would
missed him,
right,
twice.
I would imagine that guys like Thornton, Remigio, Juju Smith-Schuster, like, it might make them even more open. If Worthy is on the field and he's getting that kind of attention from the defenders.
So I would agree with that. I think it will, like, you still at this moment probably want Hollywood Brown to be the guy you pepper until you can find out Worthy's fine, but it certainly will help Kelsey. It certainly will help Thornton. Even if it doesn't help Thornton, it certainly leaves that option on the table. If you're going to tell me that Thornton was open on that three times, two of them, one was a touchdown, one should have been a touchdown, and one should have been a long play. If that presents itself three times a game for this offense, that's going to be a big deal, right? They'll get that connection going. Mahomes, I mean, I went back yesterday, or maybe it was Monday, the one that he was wide open for a touchdown, like, Mahomes had all the time in the world. That was just a bad throw. Like, he wasn't under any pressure. He wasn't anything. He didn't Russell Wilson the ball enough, right? He didn't just throw it up in the air for him. But who knows, that those were blown coverages on two of those three situations. Maybe the Giants don't do that, but if they're not, then that's where Worthy probably steps in. So yeah, I agree. He elevates the whole offense. It's basically, can Worthy be better than Remigio as a primary receiver, or Juju Smith-Schuster, who, I mean, at this point feels like is just out there to block. Like, have we even seen him targeted really this year? So I think it absolutely elevates the offense, but they're going to have to be good in other places too. They're going to have to continue to develop on the offensive line. The Giants have a good pass rush. The Giants can put some pressure. You can't let that become a thing in the game. And probably for the Chiefs, we talked about it last week, and they did it, not effectively, but they did do it. You got to at least try to establish the run game, because that takes the pressure off of everybody, right? And the Eagles are a very tough team to run against. I know the Giants front four is good. I don't know if it's as good against the run as the Eagles are, but you got to at least try. And I think that's what I mean. Like, the Chiefs will have to fail pretty badly to lose this game. And if that happens, I don't know that we can have the same conversations of everything's going to be fine. They'll get to the playoffs, man. If they're 0-3 in this division this year with still what would be 3 weeks to go before they get Rice back and all these things, and the schedule that they have coming up, it's no longer a foregone conclusion. On the other side, if they go 1-2, you're like, okay, that's what we thought they would do.
Probably also should have a conversation here at some point about what in the world is going on with Jalen Royals. Like, will he play for this team? Why, like, if he hasn't played in the first 2 weeks, why aren't they putting him on IR? If he's going to be on the shelf and he's not going to be able to play, put him on IR and go, you know, you free up a roster spot at that point, and you can go, you know, bring up somebody from the practice squad or whatever the case might be. I would like to know information about him as well, because throughout the entire offseason, the conversations were about three guys in the wide receiver room: Rice, Worthy, and Royals. And as of right now, they don't have any one of those guys. And they might have Worthy back this weekend, but I would like to have information about the rookie. Like, at least let's at least get him some reps on the field, so at least by the middle or end of this season, he can kind of come along the way that he needs to.
I don't expect anything out of him. I'll be perfectly honest at this point. Like, I have zero expectations for Jalen Royals. Anything he provides this year to me is going to be icing and a total surprise. I don't expect anything. I mean, he's got to just get back on the field, and then he's still got to go through the rookie things that rookie receivers and Andy Reid offense just go through. Maybe by the end of the year, he was ahead of where rookies are typically early in the process. I will say that by all accounts, but yeah, I don't know how you count on anything. When is he going to play?
I don't know.
When is he going to practice?
I don't know. Can we
it's
get some
bizarre
any kind of information about this guy?
None. None, nothing, not from reporters, not from coaches, nothing. We're like, we're getting nothing on Royals. So I just stopped having any expectations for him. But it'll be the worthy show, and we'll see how much he can play through it. I love the information on Kittle and Beckham Jr. because you just think of a wide receiver trying to play with a separated shoulder or a torn labrum, whatever the medical, you know, diagnosis is. And it feels like it would make it hard to catch anything that's above your shoulders. So put it where it needs to be, Mahomes. Like it's got to be there. Now, I think the Chiefs will be fine this weekend. I just checked, the line is back to 6, oddly enough. The defense will be challenged. I don't think it'll be challenged any more than it was against the Chargers or the Eagles, though. Maybe some different kinds of challenges, but the Giants offense isn't better than the Chargers, the Eagles. And if the Chiefs play the kind of defense they played through the first two games, they ought to be able to generate enough offense against this team to be fine. Cowboys have decent, I mean, the Giants have decent pass rush. That there was no defense to be played in that game against the Cowboys late. Like it was like there was so very much Ole defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing the Chiefs should fear in this game. Not a thing. Yes, Russell Wilson can hit a deep ball to neighbors. Take that away from them, because what else can they do?
They've got Wandale Robinson, and Robinson was pretty good in the game against the Cowboys. I think Neighbors is going to get all the attention, and that allows Robinson to be able to shine a little bit. I do like him in the game. But, yeah, I mean, like they don't have from top to bottom the skill players like the Ravens do, you know, and the Chiefs are going to be facing up, you know, off against them, or the skill players like the Eagles who they just played. They don't have
that.
They don't have that, you know, so you can sort of, if you're Steve Spagnuolo defensively, you can concentrate your efforts on a couple of top skill position players and really try to limit them.
Yeah, it should be fine. It should be fine. And then back to the original point, then you look at the history of the Chiefs playing in that stadium against this franchise, and you're like, oh, God, can we just skip this week? Can we just, like, I don't know, like, it's Sunday Night Football. It's all the hype and fanfare. Is it too much to ask to have a terrible primetime game where the Chiefs win it by 26 points? Like, is that so much to ask? We don't ask for much football. Can we ask for that? Can we ask for, you know, the Chiefs just to not give us the stress this week? It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. There's no need to be stressed. Why are we stressing? Look at us. There's no stress to be had here. You walk by this video stream right now, and you're like, yeah, those are two guys that don't give a rip about anything. You know?
These guys they're wild and crazy. They're free. They're open. They're, you know, whatever. They're living their life. Not a care in the world.
It's early in the morning. Are those two guys drunk right now? That's what people are wondering. That's what they're really
thinking. I think they wonder that about you pretty much every day on the show.
That's true. We give them plenty of reasons. Trius Lotta, his last chance to join in the fun while Tommy's here will come up in the next hour. We'll have Trius in to go through KU. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Royals, the overall tones of the season, disappointing, not disappointing. We'll have it all for you as we make our way through here on this Sports Daily. Glad to be here, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for helping get us chippy here this morning on a Wednesday. Stick around. We got more coming up.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here on Sports Daily. Glad to be with you today. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for their great support of the show. Listen, a lot of the Hawaiians you can find in the pro shop at Crestview Country Club. They have a wide variety of gear for you, and I have picked up a couple over the years here. One of the many reasons, it's a great place to be. So just check it out. Next time you go in, maybe give them a call, ask them, take a tour. Check out that pro shop. They got some nice stuff in there. A lot of the times, it's on a good discount. A guy like me, I mean, that's a big deal.
I mean, hey, you combine Hawaiian shirts and discounts. That's like your cup of tea. Like you're, yeah, we're speaking your language right there.
My cup of tea.
Yeah.
another toss that one in there. Yeah. No, I love the stuff they've got there.
They ought to make that like their, you know, Crestview slogan, like Crestview Country Club, the place for Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah. You never know. We appreciate their support. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask them about all the different kinds of memberships. Jad Chambers sent me a message. He said, I almost spit out my prayer fire coffee when I saw Tommy and the Hawaiian. And I'll tell you, I said, I'm working on Tommy making this a company-wide initiative on Wednesdays for everybody to wear Hawaiian. Jad said even he would wear a Hawaiian.
No way.
If you can come up with some like Odyssey-branded Hawaiian shirt, that's how you do it.
Yeah, that's a
so
good
you
point.
Say, all right, here's the deal. Everybody's going to wear Hawaiian, Odyssey-themed Hawaiian shirts on Wednesdays. You go up the ladder now in your new position and say, I need some budget money.
That's a little culty, right? Like to make everybody on the same day wear the same shirt.
Yeah. You could do different colors. You know, like
how many shirts am I buying everybody? Am I buying everybody multiple shirts?
It's the same number of shirts. You just have a choice in which one you pick so that everybody isn't matching. You only get to choose one. But there are two or three options on which one that you have to choose.
That may be something I may have to, when we're putting together our 2026 budget, I may have include a line item in there for, you know, I don't think I could put Hawaiian shirts on the budget. Yeah, probably going to get shot down pretty quick. I'd have to find another way to phrase it.
What is the most HR term? Uniforms.
Team
building uniforms. Yeah. October's budget month, right? Isn't it about budget season?
You get to fall
right into that fiery hell in your new position right out of the gates there. So yeah, just slide it in there. If we get Jad Chambers walking around in a Hawaiian shirt once a week, the movement has won. We have won at that point.
We got to give him, we haven't even done this. We got to give him a shout out too on this show because not only for people that have listened to this show for years, he was the longtime producer of this program. He produces Steve and Ted in the Morning over on KNSS, has been doing it for years and years. He's our new engineer as well. So just like around the entire Odyssey network. So he's fixing things and he's going out to our towers all around the Wichita Metro and taking care of things and maintaining it. He's been busy, but it's been great. He's fantastic.
Chasing bats out of transmitter closets, like all the glorious things. No, big shout out to Jad. That is a big win in his career. Nobody deserves and has earned that more than our guy, Jad Chambers. Welcome in, everybody. It is a Wednesday. We're going to have Shreya Slada in the next hour. We'll get ready for KU in the Big 12. Kind of two baseball topics. We'll see if we can get them both in. This Cal Raleigh, especially on a night after he hit, or a morning after he hits two home runs versus Aaron Judge is interesting. But I want to talk a little bit more about what Jalen Thompson asked us yesterday, because a 12-5 defeat in a critical stretch of games where they kind of have to win them all right out of the gates leaves a bad taste and they go back under 500. They're going to finish somewhere around 500. What's really remarkable to me, I don't remember what it was. I think the Vegas win total for them this year was 79 wins, right? So if you took that Royals future, you are sweating right now. I looked at it and I was like, that's too low, man. Look at their pitching. They look at what they brought back. And yet here we are, right? Here's where they stand. I think it's multi-layered to say, has this season been a success? Wins and losses wise, I would tell you absolutely not. It has not been. And there is no scenario where it will be. Unless they literally win their last 11 games. That would be the only scenario where that would probably still play through. That may not even be enough to get them into the playoffs, by the way. So I think in that sense, it's been disappointing. They went to the playoffs a year ago. To take a step back from that is disappointing. Organizationally, though, Tommy, I don't think that I believe it's been a disappointment. Like, big picture, not just this year, they were able to elevate Jack Caglione. Now they've been able to elevate Carter Jensen. They made a couple of trades that should help them in the long term, right? If Burgert sticks in the rotation, Kolek, if nothing else, will be a player they can use. And then Noah Cameron, of course. They'll get Reagan's back. Their starting rotation, they have like six starters going into next year, which means they'll probably make a trade in the offseason. Their lineup has two, you know, what you would imagine right now is two future Hall of Famers in it, in Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. Vinny Pasquantino is a good player. Mikel Garcia was a revelation this year. Like, there are holistically a lot of reasons, I think, to be optimistic if you're a Royals fan. Outside of the fact that they did not win enough games as they should have this year, can you even like compare what it's like right now going into this offseason versus what it was 2-3 years ago? Going into an offseason, coming off of a 50-win season and all of those things?
Yeah, I'm absolutely not going to say that it was a disappointment of a season. I mean, I know that after the playoff run a year ago, you absolutely want to follow that up with another playoff appearance and go deeper and build on the success from a year ago. And I know that at first glance, it looks like a step back, and I totally respect that. I totally recognize that. But at the same time, to your point, organizationally, there are so many different things that you can look at that, you know, I think are major, major benefits to the future of this franchise. And one of them, and I'm not saying you did this on purpose, but one of them you kind of glossed over a little bit, and that's Noah Cameron. I mean, at the beginning of the year, the two aces that were penciled in to be the top of the rotation guys were Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo. Those were the two guys. Really, the best pitchers the entire season have been Noah Cameron and Chris Bubich. And obviously, Bubich was on, you know, has been on the IR, you know, the IL. He's done for the year, all of that. But before he got hurt, he was phenomenal. And nobody expected him that he was going to do anything this season in the rotation. There were question marks about whether or not he would actually be able to be a viable starter coming back from Tommy John and pitching in the bullpen a year ago and all of that. He was great. And then Noah Cameron was like a emergency, like they needed somebody to start a game early in the season. And he was lights out, and then was lights out again and again and again and again. He's a rookie, and so, you know, towards the end of the year, that kind of leveled off a little bit, you know, for him. But the two guys that were best in the rotation were two guys that nobody counted on at the very beginning of the year. And so I think that plays a lot into the future of this rotation. And then you mentioned the guys that they acquired. Ryan Burgert has been really good since they acquired him as well. I think in a lot of ways, and you know, pitching staff especially, I think the future is really bright.
Yeah, think about what the rotation would be next year in theory. It'd be Reagans, right? It'd be Lugo, it'd be Waka, it would be Cameron. I don't know what's going on with Bubich, but you'd assume it's Bubich, should be back. So there's five. And then they have some of these other options. They've got Burgett, who I think would slot in there as six. Kolek, we know, can start at seven options, right? They have all of these options.
Is Lorenzen a free agent after this year?
I believe so.
It was only a one-year deal they brought him back for, right? I can't remember if it was one or two.
Yeah, I think it was a one-year deal. Let's double-check that. Some of them will continue to help them in the bullpen, right? And some of them, yeah, he signed a one-year deal this year. So some of them will help him in the bullpen. Some will probably get traded. I would imagine they'll make a pretty significant trade, as they have the last couple of off seasons, to go in and, you know, do something in the outfield with some of this pitching. Depending on which guy they decided to move, if they get a clean bill of health and Bubich looks great and he doesn't have any control beyond next year, That's a part of a pretty big trade, right? Or they use it. So I think when you look at that, when you look at the fact that you have about six guys that are, you know, locks to be in the starting lineup, there's not a lot of, you know, they're in pretty good position. It's too bad they didn't win enough games this year. They had a lot of pitching injuries working against them, and they had one of the weirdest offenses I've ever seen working against them. That is a concern, though, because that goes back to last year toward the end of the year, too. Like, I like these players individually, but they have to figure out a way to get more consistent.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Consistency out of the offense, which they could do through a trade, middle of the lineup outfield bat that is a flat run producer. Like, how do you find Vinny Pasquantino for the outfield?
And right? Keep in mind, they tried to do that before the start of the season. Like, weren't sure they were in on, I think they were in on a Rosarena. Yeah. Like, there were a couple of guys that they were really trying to get to be a middle of the lineup outfield bat, and they weren't able to acquire anybody. That's got to be at the top of the priority list this offseason.
For sure. For sure. And it can't be some combination of utility players yep. again this year. I'm good with Isbell in center. I'm good with Pasquantino in right. It's
Caglione.
Literally a left.
Caglione in right.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Mixing up my Italian guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I need a left fielder that can produce runs flat. That's it. Like, again, I say the Vinny Pasquantino of the outfield because Pasquantino does that
yeah,
thing
and
better than anything else.
It's
he does.
Probably not going to be this guy specifically, but I do think, and I'm higher on him, I think, overall than you are. But think of how the offense turned around for a while, at least, when they traded for Yastrzemski. And Yastrzemski right. came in and started playing left field. He probably will not re-sign with the Royals, and I'm not sure that he's the guy that the Royals should target for a long-term deal. I think there might be better options on the open market during the offseason for them to go and pursue. But when they acquired him, and I know they also got Randall Grichuk, and he had a couple of nice moments, and Adam Frazier, all of that. But really, it was Yastrzemski who solidified himself, I think, in left field as a, he was more of a leadoff guy. But offensively, he was able to get the job done, and that lineup did start to turn around, at least for a while, once they acquired him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They need to have somebody consistently from the beginning of the season be able to fill that kind of role.
They can go find somebody. They have the pitching to trade. Yastrzemski would feel like a Band-Aid to me. And it's not anything against the player. Like, I'd like to see him return to the team, but you need that position as solidified as these other spots in the lineup. They tried it last year with Melendez and Renfro. Didn't work, right? They've tried it this year with about 12 different guys. Hasn't worked. Go make it a, this is our left fielder now. Like, go make that kind of move. But all in all, disappointing number of wins, not a disappointing season because they added to the team over the course of it. We'll see if they can win 11 straight and hope for a chance into the postseason. They play right here tonight on KFH. Second hour, Shreyas Lada coming up. We'll get into the Cal Raleigh versus Aaron Judge debate. Speaking of baseball, it's all coming in another hour of Sports Daily. Stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.